Samuel chapter 30. Ladies, I hear your tea went really well. Amen. Cool. Yeah, I heard lots of good stuff happen there, and already I've heard good reports back. And we pray there'll be ongoing fruit from all of it. But I know I popped in yesterday and took a look, and it was really looking nice in here. So everybody did a great job. Heard good things. Keep it up. Keep it up. We want to continue to be that place. People can come and just get blessed and be ministered to. And from what I hear, yesterday was definitely a part of that. 1 Samuel chapter 30, just to remind ourselves where we are in all of this. David, of course, by this point has been called to be the king of Israel, but he has not yet ascended to the throne. Saul, the first king of Israel, has been rejected by God because Saul rejected obeying God. He just wouldn't do what God said, so God finally said, okay, you're done. And God went looking for a man after his own heart, and he found that in a young man named David. Well, David, though, is fleeing at this point because Saul, though he's still on the throne, he's out to get David. He's trying to destroy David. And so several chapters here, we have found David is a man on the run at this point. Well, as we come to chapter 30, we reach an awesome, awesome, challenging, encouraging portion of Scripture. For in this chapter, really, we reach a turning point in David's life. But as we come to that, I can't help but wonder if there might not be somebody here this morning that this is really going to apply to you, that you really be able to relate to what we're about to look at. By this point, David has let fear replace faith. And our last time together, we saw that David had once again refused to touch Saul. He wasn't going to kill Saul. He said, "That's Saul is in God's keeping. He's anointed. I'm not going to touch him." But also, David let fear get hold of him. From the very next chapter, he said, "You know what? Saul's going to kill me one of these days. One of these days, he will kill me." Even though David had God's promises to the contrary, fear had replaced faith at this point. Circumstances can do that. So David takes off with his men. He's still fleeing. He's afraid. And he thinks the only place he's really going to be safe is he actually goes to the enemy's camp. He goes to live amongst the ongoing enemy of the Israelites. He goes and lives amongst the Philistines. Interesting how sometimes our fear, our doubt can cause us to actually go to the enemy's camp, adopt the world's way to try to handle the things that are going on in our lives. Well, he does that. He goes to the enemy's camp. Even though he had all these promises, he finds himself living in the enemy's camps. Because although he has those promises, the promises are distant. Saul is right there. And sometimes our circumstances can be right there. And it causes us to make bad choices. So David, anyway, he gives in to his fear, his doubt. He flees to the camp of the Philistines now. Well, once he's there, he is given a city to live in, a place called Ziklag. And he and his men live there amongst the Philistines. Well, to kind of endear himself to the king of the Philistines, David goes out on raiding parties. He's actually going out with his men and raiding the Amalekites, but he tells this king that he's raiding the Israelites. What I'm saying is David finds himself now compromising and lying because he has indeed gone to live with the enemy. He has let fear get in the driver's seat. What we see is David is on a downward slide. Well, now the Philistines at this point decide that they're going to go to war with Israel. And that, of course, puts David in a rough place because he's aligned himself with the Philistines at this point. But they're about to go fight the very people he's called to be king of. Tough situation for David to be in. But God protects David. As we move through these chapters towards chapter 30, we find that God works it out so that David doesn't have to go out to battle with the Philistines. David and his men are actually sent back to Ziklag. You might think, okay, he escaped that one, everything's looking better. Well, no, things are about to go from bad to worse for David. Verse 1, chapter 30. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. We'll pause there just a moment. David now gets home to his village, and he finds the village burned to the ground. He finds the wives and the children have all been taken hostage by the Amalekites. Tough thing, very tough thing to arrive home to. But it isn't quite at the bottom of the barrel. It's about to get even worse. For we read that after they get there, his men want to stone him. These men who had been loyal to him and committed to him, but now they come and they see what's come of all their families in the village here. And see, they had handled living in caves. And they had handled fleeing across the wilderness, all the moving around. But this was too much. And they too turn on David. So in David, you find a man who all his circumstances have caved in on him. Resources gone. Family captive. All his goods burned down, taken away. Even those friends that God had given him, the men close to him, have turned on him. They're all standing there wanting to stone him. David is now at the bottom of the barrel. Don't answer out loud, but you ever been there? See, some of us this morning are saying, I can't relate to any of this, but others, we relate to that place. We got to a place where we had nothing left. God, I'm tapped out. I don't see anything around me. I have no resources, no strength. I can't do this. And that's where David is at this point. When you get to that point, what should you do? What will David do? Well, it turns out God's hand is upon all this, of course, for David. For you see, David has been drifting and doubting for a while now. And David needs revival. He needs to get back in sync with God. But instead, he keeps going with what he thinks is best and going with his fears and doubts and all. They've got him nowhere good, of course. But we're going to see that God is using all these things to get David's attention. Will it work? What does David do now? Things are against me. I just burned, captive, getting ready to stone me. What's going to happen? Will it work? Look down at the last part of verse 6 where we stopped. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now that may not hit you like a big deal, but it is awesome. You go, well, this is David. He's in the Bible. Hey, he's a man just like us, a person like us. And he'd reached that bottom of the barrel point. But now he reaches his turning point. The look around causes him to look up. What will your circumstances cause you to do? That's part of our challenge this morning. See, from here on out, things are going to change for David. But this is the pivot point. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Not just a title for our message, but a call to all of us. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, now that we have sort of set the table, as we've allowed you to set before us David and these things, showing us it's not dusty history, but so relevant to us today and all we go through. Lord, I believe there's someone or more who you want to touch today. You, there needs to be a strengthening. They're feeling tapped out, drained, don't see an answer, feel like things are against them. Lord, in this time of the year when things can be so hectic, when we can get so distracted with all the other stuff that goes on, Lord, help us in this time to hear from you. Lord, prepare us, Lord. By your Holy Spirit, move amongst us and move within us, we ask. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a moment and picture the scene once again. Picture what's going on here in Ziklag. That led up to this time where he's going to need to refresh himself, strengthen himself. But picture what leads up to it. What happened, David? He's standing there amongst a burnout city, family captive, friends about to stone him, everybody around him against him. How'd you get there, David? What happened to you? You drifted, David. You drifted, whether you realize it or not, you drifted. You let fear and doubt take over. You let things get big. And you let God get small in your eyes. You stopped seeking God. You started doing what you felt was right, what you saw. You went with the situations. Now look around you, David. The city is burnt. Your family captive. There's tears in all the men's eyes. Grief is dripping off of them. And indeed, they're standing there with stones in their hands. David has reached the bottom. But sometimes we have to reach the bottom before we'll let the Lord be all He wants to be and can be. And sometimes you gotta reach the bottom before you really look up. David has nowhere to turn now. And sometimes it has to happen to us to get to that place where, Lord, I got nowhere else to go now. I don't see it. And I'm drained. I'm tapped out. What am I going to do? And I'm not going to ask you to answer out loud, but you ever been there? I have. God, I can't do it if you don't do it. I found myself praying that, Lord, I can't do this if you don't. But then he goes, okay, now. It's almost like he says, now I can get to work. Up till now, Dale, you've been driving, and you keep trying to fight me for the steering wheel. And he says, Dale, you had to get to that point. And he says it to you maybe this morning. Okay, now we can get to work if you're really ready. And David got to that point. He's ready. You see, David needs a revival. And it comes in the form of a wake-up call involving these circumstances. It's the same for us. Our situations just reveal who we're really about, what we're looking to. And in His love, He doesn't want us to come short of all He has. I love you guys. But of course, God loves you far greater. But I'm speaking just both from experience and from God's Word. It's my privilege to do so. But I want us to all understand what we have and what we miss out on. When we don't let our circumstances drive us deep into Him. David had to get to this point before he would turn. So God allowed or brought these things for that purpose. But though David had to get to this point, it's important he not stay there. Same for you. Though you are at that point, it's important you not get stuck. Important you not stay where maybe your circumstances have brought you to. So David does what any of us in this position must do if we would be revived. He looks up. Verse 6, last part of verse 6 again. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. What an awesome, important, very important verse that is. The word translated strengthened here, that David strengthened himself, is the Hebrew word for to fasten upon, hence to seize, to be strong. David strengthened himself. It says he strengthened himself. It's a word that means he grabs on to God. He fastens himself on to the Lord. And in doing that, it changed everything. David's men's tears led them to want to stone David. David's tears led him to look up. Which direction are your tears leading you? Sometimes things come along. Hurts happen, disappointments, hopes dashed, strength tapped out, whatever it is. And we have some choices to make. You see, sometimes our tears just embitter us. I'm never trusting anyone again. I'm not trusting God. I'm not trusting people. I'm not loving because love just opens me up. Sometimes tears lead us to get bitter. Sometimes tears can lead us to blame. That's what his men are doing. They're blaming David. David, you did this. He did do it. But they just want to blame. They're stuck there as if killing him is going to help. Let's kill David. They took our wife. Let's kill him. That's not the answer, but it can cause us to just get stuck in blame. Or will our tears cause us to look up? That's what happened for David. It says he strengthened himself in the Lord. What form did this strengthening take? We're not told, are we? It just says David, with all this going on around him, strengthened himself in the Lord. And we're not told exactly what he did there to receive this strength, what this involves. It's really left to that special place between the believer and the Lord. That special place of fellowship and closeness where the Holy Spirit does indeed come along and strengthen us when we cry out, Lord, help me. Be to me what I don't have. Be to me what I need. And he just supernaturally works by the power of the Spirit in us. But I do think it's important that we speak about some things that I think we have some pretty good ideas. We're a part of it. Because they do open us up to this strengthening. So I want us to consider that. How can we also have this time of strengthening if we need it? Be it now or up ahead. Consider this whole thing step by step. Look at that text again. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. It begins by declaring what? David strengthened himself. It began with David. Now to that you might say, Pastor, I hope you didn't study all night for that one. It's got his name right there. Yeah, but don't miss it. You see, I can't strengthen you in the Lord. And you can't strengthen me in the Lord. David had to do this. It has to be you and the Lord. If you're going to receive the strength, the hope, the peace again you need, the refreshing, you've got to do it. See, David sees he's got a choice to make. Who will he really be about? What will he really do with all this? So it says, David did this. No one else could do it for him. But notice what it says about that. That he recognized, and what he goes on to do is he strengthens himself. This doesn't mean he gives himself strength. We're about to see that it's in the Lord. No, what it means is David realizes he didn't have enough strength. But he needed some. He needed God's strength. He reached the point where he recognized his strength would not hack it. Oh, how proud we can be. How self-willed we can be. Oh, the flesh will always tell you, pull up those bootstraps and make it happen. But God in his love doesn't want us there. He knows that will fail us. The flesh itself is sinking sand. He wants us on him. And David came to see that. See, before this, David didn't see himself as weak. I'm in charge. I'll flee here. I'll do that. We'll take care of it. I'll lie. I'll cheat. I'll do it. He's doing all these things. But after coming home to a burned out town, your family's captive, David knew this. I don't have what it takes. David now learns he's weak and needs God's strength. David strengthened himself. Have you reached the point where you realize your strength isn't enough? Maybe you're young, it's never happened. Maybe that's never happened to you. Hang in there. It either is right now or it's gonna. God uses those times to show us him. We sing that Jesus is enough. But sometimes to go from the head to the heart, you got to go through some things where all you have is him. And then you learn he really is enough. And you sing it from the heart then. David has to get to that point where God is his only refuge, his only place. David strengthened himself. Again, we don't know specifically what he did. How did David strengthen himself? Well, though we're not told it, I want us to consider some things here that I think we have some pretty good reason to believe there's some things included in that. And I'm saying this so we would include it, so we would do it in those times for us. How you guys doing? Are you with me? Just checking in. What did David do? Well, considering that the very next thing we're about to read here in the text is that he prays and seeks God, I suspect he strengthened himself, it included prayer. Always start there. Go to God. God knows where you're at. He knows what's going on. You don't have to pretend with him. Just go meet him where you're at, but go to him with it. Start with prayer. God, I'm tapped out. I'm scared. Whatever it is, I'm drained. I can't do this. But go to him with you. Start with prayer. Secondly, it very well may have included recounting the promises of God and God's path faithfulness to David. Why do I say that? Because remember, this is the sweet psalmist. And we see it all over again. We see it all over and over again in the Psalms. Psalm 103, the first two verses, David declares, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. part of being strengthened again in the Lord is don't forget all His benefits. Recount His blessings toward you. Lay hold of those promises once again. Remember His past faithfulness. Rehearse it. Say it. Soak in it. Good chance David did that, because that's what we see David tend to do. Prayer, the promises, the power, the faithfulness, the nature of God, the character of God. Remind yourself of that if you're going to be strengthened in Him. Also, this verse I just read also shows us something else David almost always tended to do, and I bet was part of this, and be a good idea for us to do where we need to. And that is, I bet this refreshing, the strengthening, include a lot of what come to be called self-talk. He talked to himself. Now, I know you might be worried they're going to lock you up if you talk to yourself, but it's okay. When you talk to yourself like David did, for what's to say right away? He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." David, in the psalm, we see it time and again. He talked to himself, huh? "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted? God will work. God's going to deliver you. He's still on the throne." And we see David talk to himself a lot. But not with his fears, but with God's nature and character and faithfulness. And he would tell himself, "Bless the Lord." And he found that as part of the changing. And I bet that's part of the strengthening here. Prayer, the promises, the nature of God, reminding himself, God's faithfulness. And then talking to himself in that very way. "Bless the Lord. Hey, soul, don't be cast down. God's on the throne. He's at work." And then we get to a really key part in all this. He did all that, it says, in the Lord his God. And this is a crucial element. If we're going to be strengthened, we've got to have personal fellowship with God. Theology doesn't strengthen us in the Lord. Okay? Oh, it's fun to debate and talk all that stuff over, but it's personal fellowship. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Is he your God? Have you received Christ as Savior? You've got to start there. But if you have, then He is your Lord. But is He distant or near? Are you drawing? He's with you, but what are you doing with it? I guess that's really the challenge here. See, theories don't strengthen us. Relationship with the Lord is what strengthens us. We must turn to Him in personal fellowship if there's going to be the strengthening. Well, whatever this time of strengthening is about for David, we sure can't see the results. Let's look at it now. Verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "Please bring the ephod here to me." That's how they sought the Lord in those days. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Good stuff. First of all, verse 7. So David inquired of the Lord. "Bring me the ephod here." And David inquired of the Lord. It had been a long time since David did that. We've been through a number of chapters, and we don't read he prayed and sought the Lord at all. That's back when he was doing it his way, and fear was in the driver's seat, and circumstances were piling in on him. He didn't seek the Lord in his time of drifting. He listened to the fear. And he sought out help with the enemy, with the world, with the flesh and all, but not God. But now there's been a revival in David's heart. He had strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And so the very first result, prayer. He begins now to seek God. "God, what would you have me do?" No longer like, "Okay, Lord, thanks for strengthening me. I'll take over again." Nope, learn that one. "Lord, what do you say to do here? Not what do I want to do. What should I do, Lord?" Praise the Lord. Things are back where they're supposed to be now for David. Wherever there's true change, our own wisdom, our strength will be abandoned, and the Lord's help and leading will be sought. What happens then? The Lord tells him, "Go after him, for you will overtake your enemy, and you will prevail. You will recover all." How awesome. So verse 9, so David went. That's me putting on the brakes. I know, I need some new brake pads there. But think about it. He what? He did what God said to do. Lord, I'm tapped out. I'm drained. I don't see the answer. But you begin to seek him and you pray. You begin to recount his blessings and worship, by the way. Like good worship like this, that helps you be strengthened. When you're weak and you're struggling, get some good worship around you and worship the Lord. So we know David worshiped, he wrote the Psalms. So all that was probably part of it. And we do that too. So we get to that part and also we sense his peace again, a refreshment, closeness. I'm refreshing myself in the Lord. And we say, Lord, thanks God, I'll take over again. I got back out of the bottom. I'm good for another 6 months. Thanks for the tune-up, Lord. No! But he says, but then he prayed, said, now God, you show me. What do you want me to do? Okay, we do that. Okay, Lord, I got it, Lord. I drove this thing into the ditch. You take it, Lord. Lord, show me what to do here. What will you have me do? And the Lord begins to speak to us. Good point, Lord. I'll have to think about that. Oh, yeah, that's not a bad idea, Lord. I'll, after Christmas, maybe I'll get around to it. No, what's it say? And David went. He asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do in all this? What am I supposed to do? Do this. And he obeyed what he was told. Sometimes it breaks down right there for us. But how important obedience is. See, that's one more proof when there's been real repentance. That's proof when there's been real change. Is when that heart doesn't argue with God and fight with God and go the other way, but says, God, I learned this one. Whatever you say, I'm a-doing it. I've learned this one. See, that's repentance. Obedience always shows us the level of our faith. If I really trust, I really believe that I'll obey. Because I know it's the very best thing for me. It's one thing to say, it's quite another to do. Is your family captive? Is your life thrashed? Are you strung out and spun out and tired and burnt out? It's time to be strengthened and seek him and then do what he says. Just put your next foot where he points out, step by step. That's what David did, and that's our calling. And watch what happens. See, David obeys. He begins to pursue the Amalekites. And for time's sake, let's go down to verse 17. Then David attacked them from twilight till the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered how much? All. What do you know? God said, follow me and recover all. He did, and he recovered how much? Almost everything. No, all. And we're not talking about cars now and boats. Oh, recover. We're talking about our real need, our spiritual lives, that which we really hunger for. That he recovers all. God said he would, and he did. Simply by being strengthened and then obeying. Now let's apply all this. Man in the beginning once had joy, God's love, directly experiencing it. He had peace. He had a purpose for living. He had all that originally, man and woman, with the Lord. But you know, man forfeited that to the enemy. Man chose to disobey. He sinned. Sin entered the picture. And the relationship was broken between mankind and God. The enemy had come in and ripped man off. But God didn't leave us there. Anybody glad about that? We're celebrating Christmas because he so loved us that he sent his son to pay that price. To span the gap that our sin had caused. So Jesus came and he spoiled the enemy. And he recovered all that sin had caused. He recovered all that we had lost through our sin. And now He offers to each one what we really need if we just receive Jesus as Savior. But having said that, and by the way, if you haven't done that, you got to start there. Make sure you do it today. But we also find that even believers could get in the place of forfeiting things. We give up territory to the enemy. We let doubt and fear get in again. No, we don't lose our salvation, praise the Lord. But we do drift off, and we suffer the results of our drifting. We find fear where there was peace once. We find anxiety instead of rest. We find confusion instead of wisdom. We find our fellowship with Him distant, broken. And He didn't move, we did. Can you point to this time in your life when you were closer to Him, more excited about Him? Then this is all an important encouragement and warning for all of us. See, the good news is this: as it was for David, so it is for us. This morning, do you need to recover those things once again? The peace, the joy, the wisdom, the strength. Do you need to get back some territory you've given up to the enemy? Do as David did. Just look up right where you are. You don't have to earn God's work. God doesn't say, well, go crawl over glass for 10 miles, then we'll talk about it. Just look up right in the midst of whatever it is you're going through, whatever is causing it, whatever your concern, whatever has you tapped out, whatever it is, whatever your situation is, look up and strengthen yourself in the Lord. What did David do? He grabbed on. I don't know what you picture there, but he grabbed on. I'm not letting go anymore, Lord. He began to, once again, inquire of the Lord. And then when you do that, do what He says. It's the best place to be. Look at verse 8 again. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And He answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail, recover all. I just want us to think about that for a moment. He cries out to God. And how does God answer? Is there a delay here on God's part when He hears His child in need? Not at all. And again, He doesn't ask David to do anything. Well, David, they're in my ear, you better do this or that. No, His answer is speedily and it is sure. You will recover all. You go and you watch what I do. You go into that situation. You walk forward now. Don't stay stuck. Strengthen yourself. And now you go forward and you watch what I do. See, God wants to work. He didn't save you to put you on the shelf. He wants to work in and through all of us. But He gives a very clear response. What's He say? After David has strengthened himself, now go. Go forward in me. In me. And you will recover all. I'm going to invite our worship team up. I'm inviting them up to help us begin to focus on what we've just heard, but we're not done. So if I can continue to have your attention while our team comes up. You know, within a few chapters, David will indeed become king of Israel. He will ascend to the throne. But notice, David is brought this low before he goes that high. Before he ascends to the throne, he has a visit to the bottom of the barrel. David had to learn some things if he's going to rule and reign as God would have him to. Live in all God would have for him. He had to learn some things. But think about it. You mean a future king of Israel might find himself in the place of needing a revival? You better believe it. And the same for us. Anyone can drift when we're not careful. Circumstances can get our eyes off of things that we're supposed to be looking to and start looking to our circumstances. anyone can find themselves needing to be restored, needing times of refreshing, needing to strengthen themselves in the Lord, including us, all of us. The point is, if you're there, don't stay there. This morning, the invitation is, what will you do about it? Will you strengthen yourself in the Lord this morning? Do you know that you need to do that? You relate to what's been shared. You understand. You're tapped out. You're out of strength. You're pressured around you. Things are caving in. Whatever phrase you're using, point being is, are you struggling? David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Do you need restoring? David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. This morning, if this is you, strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. Remember, grab on. Prayer, worship, the promises, laying hold of each, and of course, obedience, all of it. This morning, strengthen yourself in Jesus. If you've never received Christ as Savior, as we wrap up our time, go to the corner back here. There'll be prayer partners. They'd love to pray with you and talk about this. But believer, this morning, you need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You're just drained. You're tapped out. Maybe your focus is on all the wrong things. This time of year can do that. Whatever it is. We're about to spend some time with some awesome worship here. Come. Come up front. No one's going to bug you. But if you'd like a moment, just say, Lord, I'm just going to come up there and just kind of strengthen myself. Just come sit or stand at the foot of the Lord and receive a time of refreshing. Receive some strengthening. Receive the strengthening. See, as you get your eyes off you and your circumstances and on to the Lord, that's what He does. So if you need that, start there. Start right now. Let's pray. Father, as we now enter this time of responding to You, praising You, giving You our worship and adoration, for You are worthy to, Lord. Lord, we want it to be just that, all about You. So Lord, help us from our hearts now to praise You. You are worthy. And Lord, if there be anybody here that needs strengthening, refreshing, needs their compass reset, Lord, need to come back into that refuge. They're out there getting beat up, whatever it is. Lord, let this be that time of strengthening ourselves in You, the Lord our God. And thank You that we can, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's all stand. As I mentioned as we began, if you would like more of that good worship music, Sherry will have some CDs and a Christmas CD available in the fellowship hall. Let's pray. Father, for that which You have done, are doing, and yet to do, we thank You. For this time this morning and just Your obvious ministry in our lives and our fellowship here, thank You, Father. Truly You are the God of peace. And You've ministered that peace this morning. You've ministered Your strengthening in our hearts and our lives, and we thank You. Father, You are the one who gives gifts. All good gifts come from You. And Lord, just thinking about these gifts that You've given Sherry and Gia both, Lord, thank You for this gifting You've given them and gifting us through them today. And Lord, we pray for them and these ministries You've given them as they offer back these gifts to You. Lord, protect them and guide them on all their travels and ministry. Lord, use them. Keep using them mightily for Your purposes. We thank You for this time before You today. We thank You for this opportunity to worship and praise You. We thank You for this time in Your Word. Lord, for those that You've touched, thank You. We're giving all praise, all honor, and glory to You. Truly, You're worthy. So, Lord, we head out in You. Now we thank You. Thank You for that strengthening. That strengthening that all You can do and that You do. So we give You our praise, Lord. And Lord, we know we live in a world that needs to hear, needs to know. Help us. Help us now to say and to live, proclaiming that there is a refuge. There is a peace. There is forgiveness. There is life in You. We thank You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And in all you face, may you strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. Amen. Let's close the song together.